Today on Real Radio.
God says, I'm going to put you on trial and I'm going to judge you. And the issue is this, nations of the world. You've dispersed my people throughout the world. Number two, you've divided up my land. Three, you play games, political games with my people like they were toys.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a multi-part series called You Need to Know, all about the future things. Matthew 24 is among the most consulted sections of Scripture that speak of what will occur during the end times. Most of it contains the words of our Lord Jesus himself, warning against false messiahs, false prophets, other signs of the time, and so forth. But it also speaks of believers being ready. It's a section toward the end of the 24th chapter that is the basis for this part of the series. It's called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And over again throughout history, God has shown us that Israel is the focal point, the land of the Jews is the issue, and history, one act upon another, shows that to be true. I'm going to show you a couple of photos here. They're not exactly in order, but I'll narrate them. It is the issue, first slide, of a peace treaty. Notice, Jimmy Carter. Anybody remember him? He's considered the worst president America's ever had. Listen, stop. Every president's desire in their legacy is to have their crowning achievement, peace in the Middle East. That's not my opinion. Go search and see. Peace. I brokered peace in the Middle East. I'm just going to ask any skeptic in the house today, why is that the case? Why is that true? Because the Bible says in the last days that there will be a plan that is made and it will bring peace or a deceptive peace to Israel. But this one didn't last. Next attempt. William Jefferson Clinton. Look, this guy looks saintly compared to some of the stuff that's been going on these days. Yitzhak Rabin. How long did peace last after that handshake? Let's have an agreement. Sign the deal. Let's do this. Peace in the Middle East in our time. Didn't happen. Next picture. Olmert on the left, Abbas on the right, and Bush Jr. in the middle. Let's have peace. Let's agree. How long did that last? My point to you today is the accuracy of the Bible and God telling us and warning us through history, keep your eye on the ball. And the ball is Jerusalem, the ball is Israel, and there's always going to be discussion about peace in the Middle East. It's what everybody wants. Isn't it bizarro to think that the leaders of Peru, for example, are actually affected by what happens in Jerusalem? Jerusalem's got no river, it's got no airport, it's got no oil, it's got no nothing there, but what happens there affects the economies of the world. Go figure that one out. Next slide. Now wait. Wait. Stop. Watch. Here's the sad thing about this. At least those other guys, I think, had really good intentions about really trying to pull off peace. Okay, this isn't even on the table to wanna. I mean, right now, we've done everything just about to mess it all up. Look. Please don't think I'm taking political sides. Before you label me somebody, I'm a monarchist. Okay, I want you to know that. So what is that? Well, go look it up. On the left is Benjamin Netanyahu, Barack Obama there in the middle, and Mahmoud Abbas on the side there representing Gaza. And what came of this? What came of this? Absolutely nothing. My point is every world leader has failed to bring peace to the Middle East. There's one who will seemingly succeed. You see, all of these meetings and these slides I give you today are just to show you how the world is being primed. And whoever's able to pull this off is going to have a tremendous effect on the world. He will confirm a covenant of peace. By the way, every one of those presidents that you just saw a moment ago, Democrat and Republican, here's part of the deal. Okay, Israel, let's sit down at the table. How about you give up some land, and these guys will make a promise not to bomb you anymore? And, you know, that's, you know, just give up a piece of land, and they won't bomb you anymore. I want the piece of this, and I want the piece of that, and I want the piece of the other, until we have the whole piece. Let's have peace. Listen, you say, Jack, how can you say such things? I'm supposed to, because my boss says so. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, Joel chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem." Hello, look, you may be a full-blown atheist right now, but you got to sit up, right? You got to sit up and hear this. God says 2,600 years ago that in the last days, I'm going to bring back the Jewish people from all over the place. I'm going to bring them back to watch. To where? To what? Watch this. Verse 2. "I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I," look who's speaking. God says, "I will enter into judgment with them there on account of," who? Come on, who? God says he has a people. And if you have any doubt, let's just keep reading. "My heritage," says God. What's the name of that heritage? Israel. Israel. "Whom they have scattered among the nations." You kind of get the feeling that God is a little bit upset on this. "They have also divided up," whose land? "My land. They have cast lots," or played games, "with my people." You hear that? You know anybody today who's attacking and criticizing Israel? God says, when you do that, you're poking the apple of my eye, the cornea, that sensitive part. Isn't that heavy? Think of that. Do we not live in an age where that spirit is spreading? An antichrist spirit. That spirit is in the world today, and it's growing. And just think for a moment that the issue is, God says, "I'm going to put you on trial, and I'm going to judge you." And the issue is this, nations of the world, you've dispersed my people throughout the world. Number two, you've divided up my land. Three, you play games, political games, with my people like they were toys. Can you see God rolling up his sleeves? Because he says, you know what? You made a big mistake. I'm God, and it's my land. You thought it was your land? God says, it's mine. It's God's land. Think of that. And then this final closing argument. I'm not saying we're done. I'm just saying this is a closing argument here. This man that is coming will somehow, some way, equilibrate or stabilize a global economy. He's going to stabilize or equilibrate a global economy. The Bible says that this one that is coming in the future will somehow create a single standardized global, listen carefully, type of currency. This is bizarre. Listen, we'll talk a little bit about that here in the end, but he will somehow stabilize the global economy. Isn't it amazing? You and I right now, we have never known. Now granted, maybe we know too much. Or maybe God has allowed us to know so much to know just how crazy things are in the world. But ladies and gentlemen, the economies of the world are absolutely messed up. You name the country and it's messed up. I mean, there's some countries doing pretty good. Canada's doing good. Israel's doing ridiculously good. But most nations are doing really messed up bad. And right now in all of the world, the dollar is the chief. But if that were to fail, if the dollar was to collapse, It would be so catastrophic. It wouldn't just affect the United States, it would affect the world. For a standardized economic system to be introduced, I don't think it's going to be the yen, or it's going to be the euro, or it's going to be something else that rises out of a global economic collapse. I think it's going to be a brand new currency, and I think you and I already use it to some regard. I'll prove it to you. Watch this. How many of you write checks on a piece of paper when you pay your bills? Raise your hand. Keep them up. Don't lie. You're in church. Raise your hand. Raise the hand. Hi. Oh, my goodness. Okay. How many of you pay either on your iPad or your smart device or electronically? Raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? See, what do you do? What are you talking about? Listen, we move money these days electronically. It's brilliant. Oh, by the way, I have an idea. It's not original. It's brilliant. You want to stop human trafficking? How bad do you want to stop it? You want to stop it bad? You want to stop terrorism? You know, look, if you dry up the money flow for terrorists, they're easily defeated. I mean, they'll still be crazy, but you can take them out easier. If they lose funding, they're in trouble. What other crime can you think of that runs on money? Prostitution. What else? Drugs. Thank you. The drug issue. Listen, change the currency, you change the world. If you begin to implement a system whereby it's only numerics, we're already doing it. I mean, look, I have lived in a cashless system. Listen, I raised two girls. I've been married for 36 years. I have lived in a cashless system for many years. Ask my kids, Dad, do you... No, never mind. Numerical. The Bible says this man is going to create a numerical system of transaction. You guys, that will devastate the criminal world. That's a good idea, is it not? Think about it. Look, the enemy, Satan's not stupid. He's brilliant. He always uses something to get his feet in the door. And so the Bible tells us, and we'll have to end here in Revelation 13. And you young people, listen carefully. A numerical, cashless, cyber economy. And he, that is the false prophet, his sidekick to the Antichrist, deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. That's the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the beast. Telling those who dwell on the earth, that's not you, earth dwellers, to make an image to the beast. So who's going to do that? Apple, Microsoft, Dell. Who's going to do this? You say, what are you saying that for? Watch how technologically advanced this thing is. Make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. That's a whole nother day to talk about. Verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, a cyber robot biometric human half machine, half something. I don't know. Watch. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And listen to this, what's called a parenthetical insert. Holy Spirit says, oh, by the way, let me drop this in your lap. Here's wisdom. Now, you and I have the luxury of reading what we're reading right now. Can you imagine in the future there's going to be people reading this while this is happening? They're going to pick up their Bibles and they're going to read verse 18. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, His number is 666. Think of it. You have a social security number. You have a phone number. 949-714-909. You have a prefix on your phone number. Numbers, barcodes have an interesting form of prefix, by the way. The number is on the outer part of the barcode. The other number is on the other end of that barcode. And the third number is right in the middle of that barcode. And it is always the number 6 on every barcode in the world. I just say that for shock fun. It's amazing. It's true, but I don't know what it means. But prefix. Can you imagine? 666, and you add it onto your driver's license number. 666, and it's added onto your bank account. 666. No one will be able to buy or sell without a prefix. And that prefix gives homage, pays homage. It identifies. It's almost like Caesar who said, who you had to say, Caesar is Lord, to function in the Roman Empire. Can you imagine people somehow having to deal with a thing? And think about our culture right now, our movies, where you look at stuff like this, where this phone, there's a big thing right now with the NSA and what they know and the Patriot Act. You watching this on the news right now about your smartphone? There's stuff that we're finding out. It is wicked what this thing's doing right now. Never mind. But watch this. Somehow there's going to be an image. And that shouldn't fool you or shouldn't surprise you. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? An image was made of him. And what happens if you didn't bow to it? You were thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? Have you ever been to a communist country, which cracks me up? I have. They got 55-foot tall posters of the guy's face and all of his military regalia smiling at you like he cares. Have you ever been to a weirdo country like that? Where the dictator rules supreme? Every street you go down, there's another picture of the guy. And for some reason, his hand is always like this. Have you noticed that? It's a funny thing. What is that? I've been to Moscow. Right after the wall came down, I was in Moscow, and there's Lenin. Massive statues. The Bible says there's going to be some sort of a strange statue, and power will be given to the false prophet to speak into that statue, and it's going to be able to breathe, and it's going to be able to somehow assimilate some sort of human activity, some sort of human action. Us old people go, that's ridiculous, and the young people go, cool. Imagine that, and it's going to somehow be able to look to the masses and be able to detect who has the mark and who doesn't. And the Bible says, in the midst of all of that technology, Revelation chapter 13 says, this man will have people ordered. It will be mandated that those who don't have the mark will be beheaded. Isn't it amazing? See, Pastor, you're scaring me. If this bothers you, I suggest you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior right now. Listen, we're out of time right now, and I apologize for that, but don't leave. I want you to hear something. In fact, you've been sitting for a long time. Let's stand. Guys, can you cue this up, and I'll give you a little bit of background. And for time's sake, as soon as this is over, I'll dismiss you guys. How many of you remember a man by the name of Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey was probably one of the most amazing radio hosts of all time. He has a star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, for example. And he has a Golden Mic Award. He's everything. This guy's amazing. And maybe you could listen to him on archives, but the guy's just brilliant. He's now with Jesus. He believed in the Lord. Paul Harvey. He said something that you're going to hear right now in 1965. I said 1965. And this is what he wrote. And you answer this. Was he being a prophet to our culture or not? Listen to what he said in 1965.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
1965. Is that amazing? How do you know that kind of stuff? By knowing the word. Very important things, yeah?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things, just one in a multi-part series that focuses on what Scripture has to say about eschatology. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know, which will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We can set ourselves apart from the world by filling our minds and hearts with the Word of God. And it's exactly why Pastor Jack offers weekly devotions on his website that he himself personally wrote. Each one includes a Bible verse and some thoughts that relate to that specific verse. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Devotions. There are also previous devotions that you can tap into and enjoy every day of the week. Again, you'll find devotions at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.